WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. Many have asked the question, is a college education really worth it anymore? Reasonable people can disagree on this one, but there remains evidence suggesting that in general, college remains a good deal. New research from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York determined that the average college graduate earns $78,000 a year. That compares with about $45,000 earned by someone with only a high school degree. That translates into a college degree premium exceeding $30,000 per annum, or 75%. Indeed, the wage premium has generally been rising, at least until the past decade. As indicated by CNN Business, the wage premium for a college education rose from less than $20,000 per year during the 1980s to $35,000 during the 2000s. Since then, the college degree premium has fluctuated between $30,000 and $35,000. Recent research also indicates that while the price of college has risen substantially since the 1970s, students aren't paying as much as official price tags suggest. After one considers grants and other forms of assistance, the average cost of college is less than half what published tuition charges suggest. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. Many of us routinely enter into contracts, sometimes several times a day. How many times have you agreed to a website's terms and conditions just so that you can continue to browse? As indicated by The Economist magazine, Facebook's online terms and conditions run to more than 3,200 words. Who has the time to read such things? Even when people do read such things, they may not understand. Last year, a British consumer advice group asked 24 volunteers to read the fine print on a selection of 40 insurance documents and then to subsequently answer a set of questions. Even though they had just read the material, they supplied incorrect responses nearly a third of the time. Language analysis revealed that the documents were more difficult to understand than the late Stephen Hawking's A Brief History of Time. The difficulty people suffer understanding contractual language is critical, since freedom of contract is fundamental to our economic system. If people fail to understand the agreements into which they enter, the consequences could be devastating. What's more, people wary of entering into contracts may choose simply not to engage other economic actors in meaningful ways, translating into less vibrant commerce and slower economic growth. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. Auto sales had been booming in America. As indicated by writer Neil Boudet, sales of new cars and trucks expanded steadily from 2009 to 2016, the longest growth streak since at least the Great Depression. Over the past decade, millions of Americans have traded up to larger, more sophisticated vehicles offering sumptuous leather, electronics galore, and contemporary safety features. But sales have begun to falter, with even once popular sport utility vehicles and pickup trucks sitting on dealer lots for longer periods. In response, many dealers are ordering fewer vehicles from manufacturers. This has major implications for the broader U.S. economy. The auto industry represents the nation's largest manufacturing sector and comprises approximately 3% of gross domestic product. Automakers, parts manufacturers, and dealers directly employ more than 2 million people. Auto companies also spend billions of dollars each year on research and development, which, among other things, creates thousands of opportunities for engineers and other technical professionals. Consumer purchases of vehicles declined nearly 4% during this year's first half, driving sales to their lowest six-month total since 2013's initial half. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. Perhaps you've met someone who has invested significantly in cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. Many of these people feel quite good about themselves as Bitcoin, the world's most popular digital currency, has ridden a new wave of optimism in recent months. As indicated by the Wall Street Journal, by the middle of last month, Bitcoin had topped $12,000, or more than three times its value at year-end 2018. But some of these people may not feel quite as good as they had been feeling since the Internal Revenue Service has begun sending letters to more than 10,000 cryptocurrency holders, warning that they may have violated federal tax laws. The agency expects its mailings to be complete by the end of this month. The IRS has generally not shared how it learned about those cryptocurrency holders it has targeted and their transactions. According to published reports, one possible source is information supplied to the agency by cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase. Last year, Coinbase provided data on approximately 13,000 accounts as requested by the IRS under a federal court order. Tax professionals suggest that recipients not ignore the correspondence. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. Many nations are now at war with plastic bags. It's probably about time. According to the United Nations Environment Program, up to 5 trillion plastic bags are consumed globally each year. As indicated by The Economist magazine, when disposed of improperly, they can clog waterways, choke marine life, and provide breeding grounds for malaria-carrying mosquitoes. When dumped in landfills, they can take centuries to decompose. On July 20th, Panama emerged as the latest to ban single-use plastic bags. More than 90 nations imposed similar restrictions, with Tanzania and New Zealand recently implementing their own bans. According to The Economist, another 36 countries regulate plastic bags with levies and fees. Bans are especially widespread in Africa. This is because relatively low waste collection and recycling rates render the problem of waste plastic more visible. Africa also exports very little plastic and lacks a strong industry lobby. Still, today's international patchwork of laws is riddled with many loopholes. What's more, the alternatives are not that great. For a cotton tote bag to generate less greenhouse gas emissions than a throwaway plastic one, it has to be used 131 times. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.